The following programming is sponsored by PhillyLabor.com. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Welcome to Pond Lehocky, the largest workers' compensation law firm in Pennsylvania. With over 250 years of combined courtroom experience, we've helped over 100,000 injured and disabled workers obtain benefits, as well as some of the biggest settlements in the state. Even better, Pond Lehocky doesn't charge a dime until you win. If you've been injured at work, give Pond Lehocky a call.
Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. Our friends at Labor First, a division of Retiree First, work with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising member experience. Retirees can keep their retirement stress-free by calling a dedicated advocate who will guide them through their health plans and answer their questions. Preserve the health benefits that retirees deserve at RetireeFirst.com. And welcome in, everyone, to the Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause. Glad you're with us. Doc's in Philadelphia, and all along the East Coast and the Gulf Coast have ground to a halt as dock workers strike for the first time in nearly 50 years. J. Doc and I will work and follow this story, and we're working on conversation with members of the International Longshoremen's Association, and we'll cover it right here on the Labor Show. We're going to spend the full hour today as we record the broadcast today on October 1st, covering the American Postal Workers Union. We won't be silenced. Day of action. And for all of our listeners who have been part of the Labor Show, I believe it was back in the beginning, the first week of May, when we went live to the various rallies to talk about the American Postal Workers Union. We won't be silenced. Day of action. That's what we'll do today. J-Doc will be along in just a moment. Sherry Butler will kick us off today from the American Workers Postal Union. Sherry, a good afternoon to you. How are you?
Good morning. It's still morning here on the West Coast.
I'll say good morning to you on the West Coast. Talk to me and the audience about this day of action, this We Won't Be Silenced Day of Action, Sherry.
Well, last fall, the Postal Board of Governors, which includes Postmaster General DeJoy, decided to eliminate public comments at their quarterly board meetings. And this public comment period was a crucial opportunity for the public and employees to voice their concerns about postal issues and suggest improvements for the Postal Service.
Now, this day of action, there are rallies going on simultaneously or within the same period of time today around the country. Where are the rallies taking place?
There's rallies in over 90 cities across the country.
Wow.
From you know, cities in New York to cities in Washington State and California. It's over 140 locals, APW locals, that are participating in these rallies across the country.
The main initiative, Sherry, of why there are, that's a great number, by the way, why there are so many rallies happening around the country.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be heard that the post office isn't letting us share, employees and our customers. We're really concerned about what's going on with the post office, with service delays and other issues, and it's time that we raise our voices.
Yeah, the bullet point, Sherry, for the conversation today, the regional transportation optimization, that's a big three words. What is it? What is it, and what does it mean?
This plan is part of the Delivering for America plan. The plan aims to reduce truck trips by consolidating mail and parcel pickups and drop-offs to once a day and in the morning. While this may improve efficiency in urban areas, it disproportionately affects rural communities where reliable and frequent mail service is crucial. Rural residents often rely on timely mail delivery for essential services such as receiving medications and paying bills and accessing government services. And these delays can seriously have serious consequences for these communities.
And, you know, I think if I remember correctly from our conversation when we covered the original rallies across the country back in May, this radius or this plan doesn't use a lot of common sense. And I hope I'm saying that correctly. I know we utilized a couple of examples of why it doesn't make sense or why common sense isn't part of the thought process. What's your thought on that?
Well, DeJoy has kind of changed his way he's going about his Delivering for America plan, because back when we talked in May, it was called the Local Transportation Optimization Plan, mm-hmm. where if you're the post office was 50 miles away from a local processing center, mail would be delayed a day for those rural communities. Now it's called the Regional Transportation Optimization, where there's 60 RPDCs, regional processing and distribution centers across the country. And any area that is 50 miles away from one of those processing centers will have their mail set overnight at the post office and will not have an afternoon pickup. So he's kind of done I wouldn't necessarily say a 360, but he's changed how he's going about his Delivering for America plan. So now it's not the LTO, it's the RTO. And some of the consolidations that he was going to have happen, he has put on hold until the new year. And he has said that some of them will not take place, or some of the mail will stay in local processing centers. But now he's focusing on this regional transportation optimization, and he says he's going to save $3 billion a year with it.
Sherry Butler is our special guest here on The Labor Show with Jadok and Krause. Glad you're with us. Sherry, let me put this into kind of a visual for the listening audience, and I'll use a real-life example for me. So Saturday, this previous Saturday, I drove to Albright University up in Reading. So it was 58 miles to get to up to Albright. So if I'm at the university, or if I'm in that small community, and I'm trying to use and visualize this 50-mile radius, what does that mean? The center or the distribution? If the distribution is in Philadelphia, the delivery to that area, because it's outside of that radius, inevitably will be delayed. Is that right?
Yeah, he hasn't actually said which facilities will only get their mail picked up in the morning. But there is a map that's been produced by the post office that shows the 60 regional processing centers, and has a radius of 50 miles, a little yellow area, and then the rest of the country is in blue. Those are the areas that are could lose their afternoon pickups, which would delay it by a day, because if your mail's sitting in a post office overnight, it's not going to go till the next day. So if you're traveling to the university and it's over 50 miles, there is a very good chance that that mail will be sitting in the post office overnight.
You know, and I will say this, and I've said this going back to, and I'm going to date myself, but if I go all the way back to, I believe it was my sophomore year in college when I served as a casual at the Bala Cynwyd Post Office, and what an incredible experience it was for me to do that. To this day, and in the history of the post office, I think it's fair to say, Sherry, that people, the public, we as the public, still expect, demand, and look for receipt of our daily mail, with the importance and the priority of what's in there, as you mentioned.
Absolutely. This is the people's post office. It's not DeJoy's post office. It's the people's post office. It belongs to the people of the United States. And we have a say in what and how the mail should go.
talking with Sherry Butler, who is part of the American Postal Workers Union. Again, rallies happening all around the country today, which is why we are doing the broadcast today of the Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause. Today is Tuesday, the 1st of October. You'll be consuming the content and all of our information today. You'll be consuming that on Saturday. Kim Miller will be joining us after our first commercial break, and then AJ Jones, the regional coordinator of the Eastern Region, will be with us as well here on the Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause. Sherry, let me ask you before I let you go, and I appreciate your time. I know it's a busy day for you. Give me a synopsis on behalf of all of the workers from all of the rallies around the country. If we somehow were able to mic them all up and funnel a message into the listening audience, what would it be?
You know, there's so many different things going on in different areas. Basically, postal workers have a voice, and the Postal Board of Governors and DeJoy need to listen to our concerns. We can't fix what they don't know what's going on. And so to me, I think by people raising their voices, that's how we're going to fix the problems that we have. If we ignore them, shove them under the rug, we can't fix it. So I think that's a big synopsis of what is happening today is we're raising our voices. We're telling you what's going on and so that we can fix those issues.
Yeah, and I hope they listen. I never understood the reason why anybody wouldn't sit, listen, have a conversation, consume the content, and then try and have a common sense conversation. Sherry Butler joining us from the American Postal Workers Union. Again, today, rallies are taking place across the country, hosted by the American Postal Workers Union. We won't be silenced. Day of action. Sherry, appreciate you coming on. I thank you so much. We are and will always continue to be a voice and a platform for you and for all of the great women and men that make up the Postal Workers Union. We stand in solidarity with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. I really appreciate you guys so much.
All right. Good stuff from Sherry Butler joining us here on the Labor Show. We'll take a commercial break on the other side. J-Doc will join and jump into the chair. Kim Miller will be with us as well. Back in a moment.
First chartered in 1903, Steamfitters Local 420 has been constructing and installing mechanical systems throughout the Delaware Valley for over a century. United by excellence, this local is proud to have worked on projects such as the Sun Oil Refineries, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and the stadiums for all our Philly teams. From helmets to hard hats, Local 420 represents the history of Philadelphia. Steamfitters Local 420, Jim Snell, Business Manager.
Sprinkler Fitters Local 692 represents a storied history and heritage of steam fitters, plumbers, and gas fitters dating back to the late 1800s and continues today to thrive into the 21st century. Local 692 is a highly trained group of skilled individuals. Local 692 represents the Philadelphia building trades and provides excellence completing the job on time, under budget. Local 692, a proud member of the Philadelphia Union community. Wayne Miller, Business Manager.
There are so many choices when it comes to selecting the right financial institution. Start with the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. We're right here in your city. We're also the official credit union of Temple University, and anyone who lives, works, worships, and studies in Philadelphia can open an account with convenient locations throughout our city of brotherly love. Also online at pfcu.com with free online and mobile banking. We're not here for our profit, here for yours. Federally insured by NCUA.
Plumbers Local 690 proudly promotes, supports, and endorses the belief plumbers protect the health of the nation. The highly skilled workers of Plumbers Local 690 specialize in commercial and residential work. Plumbers Local 690 workers work on stadium projects and the largest corporate projects and your residential property. Plumbers Local 690, George P. Graham, Business Manager. God bless America.
Hey, everyone, this is Krause of Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor, proudly presented by Jim Stevenson of Chapman Ford on the Boulevard. Buying your next car online is just a call, click, or email away. Let Jim Stevenson handle your union family's next purchase right from the convenience of your home. Email Jim right now at jstevenson@chapmanautogroup.com. Remember, if you're a member of the building trades, contact Jim Stevenson at 215-698-7000, option number 6. If your union is a member of the AFL-CIO, contact Jim Stevenson at 215-698-7000. Buy your next vehicle or lease your fleet right now online from the only man in Philadelphia that has supported every union effort with unconditional effort. Jim Stevenson of Chapman Ford on the Boulevard says, union yes. Get the Stevenson difference. He supports and drives the union community. IATSE, the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees. What it means is simple. Every large-scale event in the city of Philadelphia on the Parkway, at the Wells Fargo Center, the Convention Center, or in the Kimmel Center is created and executed by IATSE. These dedicated union members proudly serve the city of Philadelphia and the millions of people that are directly affected by their work. IATSE Local Number 8, Mike Barnes, President and Business Manager. And we're back here on the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. Thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of today's broadcast, a special broadcast as we cover the We Won't Be Silenced Day of Action. Rallies are taking place across the country, all hosted by the American Postal Workers Union. Special thanks to Sherry Butler, who joined us in the opening segment. And J-Doc jumps in the chair with us now. J-Doc, you know, it's amazing. One thing Sherry referenced to us, and I didn't realize the magnitude of how many rallies were going on today.
Oh, it's a big day.
I remember us doing the conversation and the original special back in May, but Sherry reminded me today, over 90 different rallies around the country. So it's good to be able to use our platform to be able to put not only a spotlight, but also create conversation about the, you know, about what's about the dialogue.
Well, let's think about it. Okay, the work that the American Postal Workers Union does affects millions and millions and millions of members of our general public every day. Okay, so the fact that they're doing 90 rallies is not a surprise, and they should. You know, I'm proud to be on here giving them the bullhorn, just like you are, Joe. And so, certainly, we appreciate Sherry, and I'm going to bring in to the program Kim Miller. Kim, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So, Kim, if you would tell our listeners where you're calling in from.
I'm actually calling from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay, and what's going on in Harrisburg, and what's the sentiment?
We're having a rally here at Harrisburg, and we've invited all of the locals from the state of Pennsylvania. And we've gathered here at the processing plant where they're going to be canceling and delivering the mail-in ballots for the state of Pennsylvania.
All right, so having said that, and this is our topic, and this is what the American people have to, we got an election coming up, okay? And there's enough controversy in this world when it comes to our elections, okay? And, you know, making sure that everybody's vote is, you know, gets counted and everybody has the right to vote and all that. But a lot of what is going on here, okay, when you talk about these, you know, the new situation, okay, when it comes to the RTO initiative, okay, talk to the American people right now about how that can impact, you know, the election and the voting and your process, because this thing is, you know, there's some potential here for issues.
Right. So what they did is they created a task force at each of the facilities where they'll be canceling mail to ensure that the mail-in ballots are accounted for. And we've actually appointed the American Postal Workers Union reached out and have appointed delegates looking for ballots that could possibly not be in the mail stream, and ensuring that we're doing everything to gain that trust from the American people that their ballots will be counted.
Right, but no question about it. And you guys are doing all you can. But the issue in a lot of ways is, this new, in a sense, outrageous, procedure that the postal workers management, that the post office management is creating, that does, no matter how hard you work, okay, and the integrity is in the process, and I know there's a massive amount of commitment, it still throws a little bit of a wrench in this thing, right?
Our job has been made difficult through this whole process, and we're fighting to combat the effects of Louis DeJoy's plan that is failing. And that's a concern that we have, and we're committed to doing it. And, everything's been put on halt until after the election. And you're really going to see the service standards go down after the election.
What's amazing? And I'm real proud to have this show on air, because are the American people, do they understand why the services are slower than normal, that there's a wrench in the machine here, and the fact that the postal employees are doing everything they can, and you do care about it. That's why he's rallying, okay?
Absolutely.
Do the American people understand what's going on?
I don't think that they do understand. I think that the only way they're going to understand is that if we tell them, what's going to happen, why their mail is being delayed, why they're not getting it delivered every day, is that there's a plan that to slow the mail down, first class mail, and they want to become a delivery package unit. And forget about the Constitution that says that every piece of mail that goes to every house every day, and the standards of mail that prior to 2012 have been delayed. And we used to get mail that was delivered from Lehigh to Harrisburg 1 to 2 days, and then it went 1 to 3 days, and then 3 to 5 days. And now they're even talking about even slower mail in 2025, that, maybe the rural America, maybe you'll get mail 3 times because it's not profitable. Well, we're not a business. We're a service to the public. We're a service to the people. It's the people's post office, and that's who we work for. So we're trying to get out there that, yes, you do have a voice. If you want your mail delivered every day to your community, to your rural America, to your center city, that it's time to stand up and say, you know what, this is our post office, and we have a right, and you will hear our opinions of what's happening. Because the public weighs more than anybody. They're the ones who we service.
Kim Miller is
the ones who can fix it.
Kim Miller is our special guest here on The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. And let me add this, J-Doc, before you continue with your conversation with Kim. The post office and receipt of your mail is like the clock, where all we know as the public is that our mail comes and arrives no matter what. So when you ask that question, does the public know? I would say no, the public doesn't. And that's why these rallies are so important, because we have come to expect the post office to always be there.
Well,
and I don't think I'm overstating it. I'm just saying that's what I believe.
What is the response, by the way, that you're getting? Make these complaints, all you're doing is trying to make it more efficient for the general public, who, by the way, blames the workers, okay, because they think, who else would it be? They have no idea that management is creating these procedures that are making it almost impossible to be as efficient as you can be. What does the postal management say when you make these complaints?
Well, it's actually disheartening to hear their feedback that they give us, because, this is the plan, they're going to do it, and they really don't care what we say. So we've been at many of these meetings, that public meetings, and they just listen and they don't answer the public. So that's where it becomes disheartening, because we know how important it is, and we want them to listen, and not only listen, but act upon what they're saying to fix the service standards and restore the post office the way it was. And I think that because we're going nationwide and we're bringing this to the public, I think we're going to start hearing an outcry.
Well, I'm saying it's almost like it's sabotage, though. You guys have been fighting this situation for such a long time, and I come right out and say it. I mean, to me, this is just a member of the general public who probably wouldn't get heard, and I know you're fighting for us to get heard also, but also, you would think that they have a seedier mission, and that is to make sure that the image is so bad that, they're trying to close the post office, okay, and at the same, and in the process, okay, it's almost like a smear campaign. You can't do your job to the max, okay? You can't get the mail on time, not because of the people, but because of the procedures, okay? Am I out of line in thinking that? No,
I think you're accurate. I think that our staffing is we're at bare bones. And one person takes off, off on vacation. Another person calls off sick. We don't have the staffing. And then we have people forced 12 hours a day. And then what happens, it's just a snowballing effect. We're down to bare bones. Right now we have machines running with one person where standard would be two people on the machine. So we're asked to do more. We're working, some of our people are not getting breaks, not getting lunches. It's frustrating because, even at the Harrisburg plant, they're reverting jobs and eliminating by attrition, and they're not replenishing. So how are we supposed to, keep up when Service America when they get rid of this?
How can the
do everything we can, to keep, the mail afloat, and that's why it's been in existence for over 200 years. It's an institution that doesn't need a Louis DeJoy plan. It was working.
So having said that, before you go, what can the American people, is there a place their voice can be heard?
Well, on the bottom of every receipt, there's a number to call. And I suggest that they do call that. And I suggest that when you find out that your post office is closing or curtailing, that you, talk to the postmaster, give your feedback, talk to the unions, talk to the clerk at the window. They'll give you the number. It's time that we stand up. We have offices that don't have stamps because they want us to fail. How do you not have stamps? How do you not have money orders?
It's nuts. It's absolutely. I had somebody complain to me about the fact that they didn't have exact change. Like you couldn't pay unless you had exact change. Who even carries cash anymore? It's just, listen, Kim, we really appreciate you calling in and doing what you're doing. All the members of the AMPU, everything that you're doing on, not only on behalf of yourself, making sure that our votes are counted, that we have the ability to vote in spite of what's going on and the redirecting of the mail. We know you're working hard on behalf of the American people, and we thank you for calling into the show.
Thank you so much, and thank you for putting us on.
It's our pleasure.
All right, good stuff. Kim Miller joining us here on The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. We'll continue our conversation on the other side of the break. A.J. Jones, the regional coordinator of the Eastern Region, will be along, and he'll join us. We'll take a commercial break. This is The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. Back in a moment.
This is Wendell Young, president of UFCW Local 1776.
We proudly represent nearly 35,000 members who serve their communities at meatpacking and food processing plants, nursing homes, manufacturing plants, grocery stores, our fine wine and good spirits stores, and in the medical cannabis industry, among others. Our members earn fair wages and good benefits. We give workers a voice in their workplace. To learn more about our union, please visit UFCW1776.org.
Consider a career with the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. As a Boilermaker apprentice, you'll earn while you learn. We offer excellent wages and benefits. And as part of our no-cost, hands-on apprenticeship program, you'll learn from the best in state-of-the-art training centers and on the job. Become a union Boilermaker and get on your way to a great career.
Visit Boilermakers.org or call 844-IBB-WELD.
Hi, this is Mark Lynch, Business Manager, IBEW Local 98. Our members are the best educated, best trained electricians and technicians in the construction industry. Our electrical contractor partners do the job right. The first time, every time, safely, on time, and on budget. Find out why we're the best in the business. Visit us at www.ibew98.org.
Welcome to Pond Lehocky, the largest workers' compensation law firm in Pennsylvania. With over 250 years of combined courtroom experience, we've helped over 100,000 injured and disabled workers obtain benefits, as well as some of the biggest settlements in the state. Even better, Pond Lehocky doesn't charge a dime until you win. If you've been injured at work, give Pond Lehocky a call.
The great city of Philadelphia and its incredible skyline are being built in part by the sheet metal workers, Local Union 19. And did you know schools, libraries, and other public buildings you visit were built with help from the sheet metal workers? Support the labor movement in Pennsylvania and hire a member of the sheet metal workers, Local Union 19. Their history dates back to the 1800s, serving 23 counties in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. Sheet metal workers, Local Union 19, Brian Bush, business manager. Visit them on the web at smwlu19.org. Ironworkers Local 401 members are highly skilled. Ironworkers Local 401 members are highly trained. Ironworkers Local 401 members execute jobs that require structural steel, concrete structures, towers, and the highest part of a building you can see that is currently under construction. Ironworkers Local 401, a proud member of the Philadelphia Building Trades. Say thanks to a member of Ironworkers Local 401, Kevin Boyle, business manager.
And we're back here on the Labor Show with Jadok and Krause covering the We Won't Be Silenced Day of Action, where rallies are taking place across the country, all hosted by the American Postal Workers Union. Glad to be able to be back, Jadok, covering this story. If you remember, and perhaps some of our listeners remember, we covered the rallies 4 months ago,
yes,
back in May. So the fact that we're covering them again today means that the American Postal Workers Union, as we learned from Kim Miller and we also learned from Sherry Butler, are still pushing the message, and there's rallies all over the country today.
Absolutely. And I'm going to shout out James the Ritter and Vince Tarducci, who've been key in this entire process of the American Postal Workers Union here in Philadelphia and nationally, for helping us to voice this on our radio broadcast, because they've done a great job at coordinating it. And of course, you know, it's a big deal because these people are fighting for the American people. And I'm happy to bring into the program A.J. Jones, regional coordinator of the Eastern Region. A.J., how are you, sir?
I'm very well today. How's everyone doing?
Well, we're doing great, man, and we appreciate you out there, not only on behalf of your members, but also on the American people. So let's get right into it, okay? So you talk about all the issues that have gone on. We brought them up, okay? The Postal Service is a public service, okay? It should be run at the discretion of the American people. The Postal Board of Governors and senior postal leadership should be accountable to the public, okay, and allow our voices to be heard. Elaborate on that, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for this opportunity. It's great to be on the show today.
Great to have you.
It's the People's Post Office. That's the bottom line. It's always been the People's Postal Service, and it needs to remain the People's Postal Service. Unfortunately, the Postal Service doesn't feel that way anymore. They've had a little bit of change of heart, especially as it relates to allowing the public to have a say of what happens to their public postal service. So we go to meetings. They want to make changes. They have to give public input. These American people go to these meetings. They sit through all of the talk they have to hear. And then when it comes time for public input, the Postal Service says, sorry, but this is not for input. This is for us to give you information. So completely out of line and wrong. It's trying to silence, which is why we will not be silenced, the American people and what happens with their public postal service.
And so what that is no accountability. They know there's a problem. Okay. It's like being, by the way, this is like being in the twilight zone. It really is. They don't want to, they don't want the American people to have a voice. Okay. When a lot of these situations, I mean, who hears it? Whoever here's a situations like that where the services that the American Postal Workers Union provides are often so life impacting. Okay, when we talked about our with Kim Miller, our election coming up, voting by mail, and all those things, they don't want us to have an opinion. Why in do you think that that's the case?
Well, I think it's the case because it doesn't fit what the Postal Service is trying to do. We have a new Postmaster General. Well, heck, he's not new anymore. He's been in for a little while, but he has never worked for the Postal Service. He's never been involved. He's never been an employee. He does not understand what we do, and he does not understand the heart of the postal worker in all aspects. We have heart. We've always got the job done because we knew people were depending on us. He doesn't understand that logic. He knows big business. He's a CEO. He is making decisions to try to turn this Postal Service into a competitor, in my opinion, with UPS, FedEx, and other big shipping companies. That's where he wants. If he had his way, he would just simply take all the gobble up, all the mail in the major areas, throw it on a platform, throw it in a machine, let the machine do it, send it out the other side. And everybody else would be left to the side, especially our rural America. They would have no service like that. So that's, he wants to gobble up what he can to make the money, get in, get out, and be done. And I've told him this in meetings. We are a public postal service, period.
So having said that, I mean, the general public, okay, so the law requires the USPS to provide prompt, reliable, and efficient services to people in all areas, in all communities, okay?
Right.
Every community deserves quality mail service. Okay, but clearly services are slipping because of manpower shortages, lack of resources. Talk about that. Elaborate on what's going on here. Because you know, the amazing thing is people, they think it's the workers. Touch on that, if you will.
Yeah, I will. And I appreciate you bringing that point up. It is very important. It is not the worker, as we know. But the people on the outside are only hearing or being allowed to hear certain things. So the Postal Service believes we're fully staffed. Matter of fact, the Postmaster General just made a statement the other day when he was asked, are you intend to hire more people? He said, no, I'm fully staffed. Yeah, well, you can't be fully staffed when you have post offices across the country closing down because one person happens to be sick. Listen, these folks have a job with the Postal Service. They took that job knowing that sick leave was part of their employment. If every time a person calls out sick, you have to close your post office, you're not staffed properly. So that's the huge problem.
It's almost like being in the Twilight Zone. It's almost like it's sabotage. And I'm just saying that from a member of the general public. They don't want, so they understaff, they under-resource. So if you don't have exact change, sometimes you can't get your service. They don't have stamps, okay? And they're closing post office because somebody has got the cold for, a cold for the day because they're undermanned. And at the same time, they expect the general public not to have a voice, okay? It is like being in the Twilight Zone. And it's just so confusing. So before we let you go, I just want to talk about a contract, okay? Obviously, postal workers, working their butts off now in conditions like this, but they deserve a contract, okay, that compensates them fairly for, obviously, their public service, the dedication that they provide, okay, but also that recruits other, the future workforce, okay? They have to, making it, you need to be able to have a living wage, okay, a fair wage so that you can have and benefits so that you can provide a great service and a living, okay, for yourself and your family, and at the same time make it appealing enough for other people who are quality workers to want those jobs. What's the status in that situation? Where are we going?
So we opened negotiations on June 25th of this year. We were in negotiations up until September 14th. September 14th to the 20th, the parties locked down in a hotel in Washington, D.C., and we met day and night. Postal Service didn't really move until Wednesday night, Thursday, when they actually started to have real discussions with us. Currently, right now, we're in a situation where the contract expired on the 20th, but the parties have agreed to what we call stop the clock. And we stopped the clock so we can continue negotiating. We will continue to negotiate in an attempt to get the Postal Service to come around and make sure we have a good contract with solid staffing, better workplaces, workplace environments. Hostility goes on across the Postal Service. This happens when people are overworked, understaffed environments, people get frustrated and aggravated and tempers go. And that's what we're seeing now. It's management a lot and workers back and forth at each other. This is what goes on behind the scenes in the post office, behind the magic retail counter. So, yes, we are in a status of continuing to negotiate right now. We hope the Postal Service does the right thing and provides us a good contract, which will provide us good staffing, which will result in great service to the American people. And that's what this is all about.
Well, listen, AJ, we really appreciate
one question I have, J-Doc, sure. For AJ. AJ Jones, who's the regional coordinator of the Eastern Region. And I don't mean to throw a curveball here, AJ, but let me get your thought on this. Do you think there'll ever be a time where the public will not take the post office and all the workers for granted?
I hope that day comes. Many people know what we do, but it is a small group of people, because in this day and age, people believe everything they hear. And what's being put out there in the masses is not what we want. The earlier you said in the Twilight Zone, I agree 100%. People are caught up in the Twilight Zone because they don't know. They don't have the institutional knowledge of the American Postal Workers Union or the United States Postal Service. They just know they can mail their letter, their package, or whichever they would like to put in the mail. They know it can get there and it can be reliable, dependable, prompt delivery per the Reorganization Act 1970. The Postal Reorganization Act requires the Postal Service to do that. And in my opinion, they are pecking away at that to see what they can get away with. And the Board of Governors and other PRC need to hold their ground on the Postal Service and make sure that they're following what they're required to do. And I think it's so important to know that. So I hope there's a day where everybody knows the truth about what's going on, because that will stem more people getting involved in their public postal service.
AJ Jones, regional coordinator of the Eastern Region, joining us here on the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. We'll get to a commercial break. As we roll to the break, compliments of James DeRitter, the president of the American Postal Workers Union Local, number 77048, J-Doc, he just sent us some live audio from one of the rallies. We'll play some of that audio, get into the break, and then join you on the other side. Back in a moment.
Who's Postal Office?
Who's Postal Office?
The People's Postal Office.
Who's Postal Office?
The People's Postal Office.
Who's Postal Office? The People's
Postal Office.
Who's Postal Office?
The People's Postal
Office. Who's Postal Office?
The People's Postal Office.
Who's Postal Office?
The People's Postal Office.
My name is Joe Williams, business manager of Elevator Constructors Local 5. Every day, countless lives are devastated in our country at the hands of the opioid epidemic. Whether sparked by a pain-related work injury or other issues, many of those afflicted are family members, friends, and co-workers. It may even be you in desperate need of help. No one is immune to the effects of this terrible disease. If you or someone you know or love is suffering from addiction to opioids or other substances, don't wait another day to reach out to someone and seek help. Tell a friend, a family member, or a professional now and get the support you need, like your life depends on it, because it does. Remember, it's not where you start the race that counts, it's that you finish it that matters most. I'm Joe Williams of Elevator Constructors Local 5. I'm a labor leader and labor cares.
Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. Our friends at Labor First, a division of Retiree First, work with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising member experience. Retirees can keep their retirement stress-free by calling a dedicated advocate who will guide them through their health plans and answer their questions. Preserve the health benefits that retirees deserve at RetireeFirst.com.
District Council 33 President Ernest Garrett and the entire executive board would like to thank you, the members of APSME DC 33. Their mission is simple. They consistently fight for and secure the best wages, benefits, and working conditions for members. And they stand ready in support of public service workers' rights and benefits and hold politicians accountable for their actions. District Council 33, Ernest Garrett, President.
CWA District 213 serving Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Washington, D.C., Virginia, and West Virginia proudly presents The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause and The Labor and Energy Show, Labor's weekly live radio programs. CWA members are standing up for our communities and fighting to protect the rights of all workers to speak up on the job without fear of retaliation and to make it easier to join unions and bargain fair contracts. We are CWA strong and union strong. Mike Davis, District Vice President.
We are District Council 21. We're the brothers and sisters building the city of brotherly love. We're bringing the highest standards of training, safety, and quality to every project, from Center City to the Jersey Shore. We're rebuilding the region's infrastructure and giving back to our communities, all while earning industry-leading wages and benefits. We're proud of where we're from and where we're going.
To learn more, go to dc21.org. Joe Ashdale, Business Manager.
And we're back here live on The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause. Thanks so much for being a part of the program. Special thanks today to Sherry Butler, Kim Miller, and then A.J. Jones, who joined us in the last segment. We are covering We Won't Be Silenced Day of Action, where rallies are taking place all across the country today, all hosted by the American Postal Workers Union. If you remember, J. Doc and I covered the rallies or the day of rallies back in May of 2024, and the Postal Workers Union continues to put the message out and to try and let the public or inform the public about the message. Cynthia Neesmith, and I think I have that right, Cynthia is going to join us now on The Labor Show. Cynthia, welcome into The Labor Show. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Yes, you did.
Oh, good. Yes, thank you very much for being here. Cynthia, it says next to your name, retiree, which means you've got a long or had or experienced a long tenure with the post office. Tell us about that.
Okay, 35 years.
Wow.
Been retired now, 15. So, and I'm still very involved with the union. I'm still very involved with the Postal Service. We need the Postal Service. The Postal Service has always been able to deliver. The people might squawk about us, but it's not our fault. Sometimes it comes down to management. When management takes away the volume of people, when you go to these post offices and you only see one clerk serving you, that allows people not to be served. And then you look at the post office and say, you know, they're not doing their job. But it's not that they're not doing their job, it's that they don't have the amount of people to service the community. Just as right now, we're in this terrible election that's coming up here, okay? And so you're hearing statements about vote by mail, and if you vote by mail, your ballots won't get in, or you know, we got to use an alternative method to mail your ballots in. Well, that's not true. The people that work for the Postal Service, which is us, okay, they are just as dedicated to getting that ballot in the mail too. So when they say the post office, is not doing our mail right, we say the post office won't fail. We'll get your mail through. So with retirees, we know the understanding of the Postal Service. We fought hard for so many years to keep the post office vibrant. And we still stand with the active members, because the bottom line is, you look every day when you, I use this example with most people, you get up and you don't get any mail, you are disturbed. Why don't I have mail? Because everyone looks for some piece or some form of mail. So therefore, it is important that the post office remains and it's not privatized. Because if it's privatized, then there are areas where they may not feel as is important to receive the mail as it might be an area in New York or area in Philadelphia. depending on where it is. But the way it is right now with the Postal Service, everybody gets their mail, and in every area. There is not a reason why this area would get mail and another area would not get mail. And so for retirees, we stand with the active members.
You know what, Cynthia, you're so right in your last statement. And we as the public take the post office and all the women and men that work for the post office and our awesome carriers, we take them for granted because the post office is always there. The mail
Absolutely.
Is always delivered. So we have come accustomed to expecting it to always be there. And unfortunately, and which is the reason the rallies have to serve the purpose of getting the message out, is the workers, the public takes it out on the workers. It's not the workers.
Absolutely.
The workers are there. It's not the workers. It's not the workers.
It's not. And my question is, when they come into a station and they see that there's only one person in the station, they should complain to the manager that, you know, they need more people. One person cannot do what requires three or four people to do. It's just impossible. I mean, so you take the morale away from the employee. You take the morale away from the customers. It's a no-win situation there. So that's why we're out here walking the picket line, a rally line, saying, consider who you have working for you. We met a woman today, that speaks a couple languages, and she uses it in Passport. That's a special skill. She don't even have to do this, but she's lending her knowledge because she speaks this to help out a customer. So this is it's not that we just want money. It's not that. It's we want our jobs. They want their jobs, and the retirees want them to continue their jobs because, therefore, we'll still be taken care of. You know, and so it's not that you work and then you forget about the Postal Service. No, you work and you still remember the Postal Service because they still really feed the retirees. So this is why we do. This is why we support them.
Well,
we will
Cynthia,
always support them.
And Cynthia, I would say this, and we talked about it in the last segment with a little bit with AJ Jones. The post office is the people's post office.
It's the people's post office. You can't say it no better than that. It's the people's post office. It's not the rich man that can pay the dollar. It's the people's program because people. You know, there are people that sit at their door waiting for their mail. This might be the only time they even have contact with a person is their post office, their postman that comes and delivers their mail.
Well, I would say
it's
this,
important.
And I would say this. I'll add this to your example. If they don't receive their mail, and I put me in, I include me in the they.
Okay.
What's wrong? Oh my God! What's wrong? I didn't get any mail. I didn't get any mail today. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So there you go.
We're talking with Cynthia Neesmith, who's a retiree. Congratulations, Cynthia, on 35 years. Appreciate that very much. And also, thank you to you for staying so active and staying involved. We are committed here on the Labor Show to continue to push the message for the American Postal Workers Union. And I thank you very much for jumping on here from the rally.
And I thank you very much for, taking the time to hear our issue.
Oh, my pleasure. That's Cynthia Neesmith joining us here on the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. Again, we're covering today, We Won't Be Silenced, Day of Action, where rallies are taking place across the country, all hosted by the American Postal Workers Union. Before we get out of here, when we roll into our final goodbyes, I want to play one more time the rally soundbite audio from one of the rallies today before I cue you up to listen to that. I do want to thank Sherry Butler, who kicked off the show today. Great to have Kim Miller and get her perspective. Good interview with her and Jay Dock. And then, of course, A.J. Jones was with us as well. And then it was great to finish up with the retiree, Cynthia Neesmith, who I think brought it all together, tied all of this together for us, the living, or for us, the public consuming the content. That's going to do it for this edition of The Labor Show with Jadock and Krause. We thank everybody for tuning in and being a part of the show. As we roll out of here, one more time, we'll play some audio from one of the rallies today. We won't be silenced. Day of Action. See you next time, everybody.